You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday. It's a meat Thursday because we're not here tomorrow. We got four chilies. We got the classic beef chili, short rib chili, white chicken chili, and buffalo chicken chili. All the recipes available on the newsletter. Go to danpatrick.com and you can sign up, and we'll send that out a little bit later on. Also, Todd is going to do all of his sports-related Valentine's Day names. Those will be coming up on the newsletter as well. We're going to record those after the show.
Awesome.
And then people can actually listen to you give those horrible sports-related names. And we love the two that will sum up Todd Fritz's Valentine's Day, Bill Self and Hope Solo. That'll pretty much, although Todd thinks he's going to be James Harden, that's not going to be the case. Well, it might be.
My plan is to get one of those Valentine's Day, you know, those Carvel like ice cream cakes that I know she likes with the little chocolate crunchies, and maybe that could lead to something.
No, that's for you.
That is mainly for me. It's like a little late night snack, but it'll be under the guise of one of the gifts for her with the flowers.
I mean, your wife is a grown woman. It's like, she's not like a high school girlfriend here. How about some jewelry?
She's got all the jewelry she needs.
No. A woman never.
So when she tells me that she has enough, she's just setting me up for a failure.
A woman never has enough jewelry. Never.
I've been taking her word for it the last couple of years. Said, all right, fine. We'll just have dinner and good night.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Denny Hamlin will join us. He's going for a three-peat at Daytona, something that's never happened before, and he'll join us coming up a little bit. Also talk about playing golf with Michael Jordan. I think they're doing that today after our interview. Even under the best circumstances, NBA regular season, not the best indicator of what's going to happen in the playoffs. And you start with load management. Teams are watching their stars' minutes closely. COVID protocol, guys missing games, then the reality of NBA basketball is winning the regular season is not the same as winning in May or June, winning in the playoffs. The ebb and flow of energy throughout the season, having everybody healthy. The number one seed doesn't mean anything. Just look at Milwaukee. Defense gets so much tougher in the postseason. And you never know who's going to step up with the bright lights. LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler elevated his game last year. Regular season doesn't mean much. You just want to make sure that you're one of the top four seeds, in my opinion. Just don't watch a team in February and tell me you know exactly what to expect come May or June. Spent a lot of time the last couple of days talking about Russell Wilson and what he revealed to us. Then we had a source who was involved in the situation who said the next day that this is not a sustainable marriage and there's an urgency to this. And I think there was a lot more going on during the season. It's just with the Seahawks and Russell, it never came out. And he picked our show to be able to, I guess, reveal this or allowed me the opportunity to press him on some of these. And the question is, now what happens? I don't think he's going to be traded. I think it would be very difficult for Seattle to trade him, a team to pick him up, and the amount of money. I think this is, he's sort of doing what Aaron Rodgers did. And Russ did it in a different way than Aaron. Now, because Aaron, passive-aggressive, he's sort of going, hey, who knows what's happening with this team? But I don't even know about myself. It's his. I thought he was putting the team on notice. Look, I don't have many opportunities here. And this is before Brady wins the Super Bowl. I think the fact that Russell Wilson was there watching Tom Brady win the Super Bowl is what led him to being a little bit more outspoken with his situation there. There's already speculation. Would the Raiders trade for him? I don't think he's going to be traded. And anybody who puts that out there, I think, is just looking for clickbait. Carson Wentz is going to be traded. I'm assuming at some point, I don't know when. It wasn't immediate like it was reported. There were no offers on the table as it was reported. And, you know, my source was correct in this. That doesn't mean he won't be traded today or tomorrow or over the weekend. But at the point where I brought it up, there were no offers on the table because the Eagles were being ludicrous in what they were asking for. Now what you're finding out, they may have to load up some things with Carson Wentz and send him off. That's where we are with this situation. Now, it doesn't mean the Bears or Colts aren't going to, you know, go for Carson Wentz, but that's what is happening in that situation. Deshaun Watson, we don't know. There's nothing there. There's nothing, you know, that we can report here. But Deshaun Watson, I don't think he's traded. I think Carolina is a sneaky team to keep an eye on, but all of that is just kind of rumor and speculation right now. If you watch the Super Bowl, if you listen to the Super Bowl, you heard the voice of our next announcer, our next voice, the renowned PA announcer, Alan Roach, the voice of 12 Super Bowls, 6 Olympics, a World Cup, EA Sports Madden with the Avalanche, the Vikings, a variety of things. And Alan, kind enough to join us on the program. Alan, good morning. How are the pipes today?
Hi, Dan. Good morning. Pleasure to be on the show.
Feels like you may have had some whiskey and some cigarettes this morning to improve that voice, trying to outvoice me today. Alan, did you?
Yeah, well, I've been up 90 minutes, so of course.
Okay. Can you not have that voice? Like when you're around the house with the family or your wife, let's say you call up and order a pizza. How does Alan Roach order a pizza?
I would like sausage and mushroom, please.
How often are you recognized by just your voice?
Always, because I'm never recognized by the mug. it's truly amazing how, like, even with a mask on now,
yeah,
go to the grocery store and just the question, paper or plastic, hey, are you the announcer guy?
How do you grow up to be a public address announcer?
Yeah, well, that's kind of a long story that we don't have time for, but just fell into it. I mean, the very first job I got was with the Colorado Springs Sky Sox when they were the Cleveland Indians affiliate. I was doing radio in Colorado Springs. Happened to go to a Sky Sox game one night with a friend. Went up in the press box because he'd known the GM. Just showed me around. I saw the guy over in the corner doing PA. I said, hey, if he's ever... if he ever goes on vacation, needs a break, whatever, I'd like to try that. GM said, have you ever done it? No, but I think I could do that. So, well, actually, he's going to be gone in like 2 weeks, going to miss a weekend. Would you like to do 3 games? Sure. I did the 3 games, and they came to me after those and said, if you want the job, it's yours.
That's moment you've ever had as a PA announcer is what?
Oh, man. That's the best part of my job is there's way too many to count. I mean, David Tyree catching the football on his helmet. Joe Sakic passing the Stanley Cup to Ray Bourque. Joe Sakic and the Canadians winning the gold medal in Salt Lake City Olympics for the first time in however many years it had been back then. The 6 shootout goals by TJ Oshie sitting in an arena in Russia with 16,000 Russian fans all ready to kill me after the game was over. Yeah, memories are so many. That's I've been blessed.
What's your worst PA announcing moment?
I've really only made one mistake. It was the day. Well, okay, I've made a few more. It was the day that Mark McGwire got traded from Oakland to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tony La Russa was already in St. Louis. Mark McGwire got traded at like 6 o'clock in the evening. On the night that the Rockies were playing, and I was announcing the Rockies, and we were playing the Cubs that day. So in the press box where I sat, there's 50 writers, and for a half hour, all anyone could talk about was, Mark McGwire got traded, Mark McGwire got traded, Mark McGwire got traded. So we get around to whatever inning it is, and the first baseman from the Chicago Cubs walks up to the plate, and I open the microphone, and I say, now batting, number 17. Which should have been Mark Grace, and I said, Mark McGwire. And Grace turned around at the plate and stared at me, and he grounded out to shortstop. I talked to him, I don't know, 3 or 4 years after that when he was broadcasting with Arizona, and I said, hey, I'm the announcer, Alan Roach. Do you remember when Mark? Yes, I remember that. I MF'd you all the way to first base.
He's Alan Roach, the renowned PA announcer, joining us on the program. Yeah, I was wondering when. Let me play. I only did it once. I did public address announcing once. Now I've handed out the Super Bowl trophy 4 times. So then you get the big, anthem. The stadium feel to it, and you always got to be worried about the feedback there or the echo. But this is what I did at spring training in Scottsdale, Arizona, I think back in 2003, 2004. I want you to tell me, and be honest, what you think of my PA announcing skills.
The left fielder and reigning National League MVP, Barry Bonds. Bonds. The left fielder batting fourth, number 25, a man who homered in his last at-bat for me. Let's all rise and welcome Barry Bonds.
All right, what do you think, Alan?
I think you should have made it more about you.
Well, he did homer for me. He homered twice, and I was doing my radio show, and I asked the Giants, so simultaneously, when's the last time you did a radio show and then did public address announcing, Alan?
I did that for 20 years. I used to leave my radio show early in downtown Denver. I'd record the last hour of my show and then go over to the ballpark and announce the Rockies games. I did that every year for 15 years.
Yeah, but I was doing it, my radio show, and then I went to the booth next door holding the microphone for my radio show and the microphone for the PA for Scottsdale, you know, Arizona. And there had to be hundreds of people there, Alan, to listen what I had to say. And Bonds turns around when I say, and now batting, a man who homered for me. And his last, and Bonds turns around like, who the hell is this? But that's the only time I've done public address announcing. Do you want to introduce us? Could you do the starting five for the Dan Patrick Show?
Whew. Sure. I can give that a shot.
Okay. All right.
Well, let's see.
All right.
Let's start with the front row. This former mailman checks in at 6 foot, 183 pounds. He chose to leave West Virginia University. Yeah, right. Seton O'Connor.
Well done.
And you know, the fact that Alan has this information all on his own, that's the professional. Okay, all right, continue, Alan.
This snarky producer still lives in the distant past with the 85 Bears. He spent so many years at Southern Illinois, he should have a doctorate. He doesn't. He barely graduated. You probably hate him because most everyone does. He's Paul Papp.
Nailed it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, truth in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Here goes. A former JV power forward at Dartmouth. He's a fine writer, but he's known much more for breaking his glasses on national TV. Say hello to Andrew Perloff. This pervy booker likes chain restaurants, chunky turtleneck oatmeal sweaters, and avoiding doing any manly chores or tasks. He's Todd Fritzy.
How does he know so much about Todd?
That's amazing.
Fantastic research.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
This talking hairdo values his hair more than most of his relatives. He told me so. He's a fan of warm takes and good tequila. Not in that order. He's Dan Patrick.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, look, you crushed it, Al. You absolutely crushed it. Any great memorabilia?
Just off the top of my head.
I know, that's what's amazing. Any memorabilia that you've, anything cool that you've collected through the years with all these events you've done?
Oh, yeah. Just Super Bowl stuff. I mean, one of the coolest things is I have one of the pictures back here, but the NFL gives me a Super Bowl watch every year as a thank you for doing the game. So I have 13 watches from the Super Bowls that I've done. Basically everything that was given out in the first 14 years of the Colorado Rockies to the first 5,000 fans through the gate. Well, 4,999 fans, because I got one.
But Alan, is this in lieu of payment? You do the Super Bowl public address announcing and you get a watch?
Well, I get a few bucks too and a watch.
Okay.
But yeah.
The best halftime show that you've
Prince.
Introduced. Probably Prince.
No doubt.
Yeah. Prince was
no
awesome.
Doubt.
Yeah.
And then after that, for me, it was just the first one in Detroit was probably one of the greatest sentences I've ever said on a microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones.
Are you booked for next year in Los Angeles?
Let's hope so. I think I have the job until I screw it up.
Yeah, because I don't know if... Paulie, should I try to Bigfoot now?
How about you could be the understudy? You're going to be in L.A. anyway. If Alan has a rough night out, we could take him out on the town and bang him up.
Yeah. Dan, I think I announced you awarding the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Was it in Detroit?
Let's see. Where was I? I know I was in Tampa for the Steelers.
Okay, and I did that
in Arizona. Yeah, I'm sure you did introduce me. So yeah. We have worked together, Alan.
Absolutely.
No, I know. I appreciate that. Hey, thank you for being a great sport, and we'd love to have you back on again. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure. What a huge show for me to be a part of. Congrats on all your success, Dan. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, Alan. That's Alan Roach, the renowned PA announcer, voice of 12 Super Bowls, 6 Olympics, but who's counting? I was in the arena that day with the TJ Oshie with the game against the United States and Russia when he was doing the public address announcing. I did not know that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to Denny Hamlin. Coming up. It's amazing Alan had all that information on these Danettes, especially time.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Coming up on 18 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, Dollar Shave Club. You walk into your favorite store, you go to the razor section, and it hits you. Well, there's so many options. How do you choose? Do I do the 8-blade or a 10-blade, or is there a 50-blade? Like, what do I pick up here? What makes the most sense? Dollar Shave Club is now available in stores near you. You got a premium 6-blade cartridge that's designed for daily shavers. And then the 4-blade cartridge, that's for a less frequent shaver, less frequent flyer. But, you know, they're also, the blades are spaced out for easy rinsing, which is really important as well, because they're going to last longer. More blades is not better blades, by the way, or better razor. I told you Dollar Shave Club's got you covered, and they do. The Dollar Shave Club has put cartridges, both of these, the 6 and the 4 in the same box. Take a test drive with both. For more information, visit dollarshaveclub.com/Patrick, dollarshaveclub.com/Patrick, and check out Dollar Shave Club at your nearest store. You got questions, we got answers. Welcome to the club. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Talk to Denny Hamlin here in a moment. He's partnering with Michael Jordan, their NASCAR team. You know, it's a bad year to be a college basketball blue blood program. Yesterday, the AP poll was just the second in the last 70 years that didn't feature any of these teams: Duke, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina. The only other time was 1961, and that's when the AP poll had just 10 teams in it. Other traditional powers currently unranked: Louisville, Michigan State, Syracuse, and UCLA. How incredible is that? Unexplainable. That just the fact that I watch Kentucky and I go, when is Kentucky's varsity coming out? And then I watched Duke the other night lose at home. And you just go, what is happening to this? This isn't a slow start. This is just a bad team. Michigan State, we pencil in Michigan State in the Sweet 16, it feels like, every year. Indiana, Kansas, pretty crazy. And then you start watching college basketball, and although I think Baylor's next three games have been postponed due to COVID, but Baylor and Gonzaga are the two best teams. You got Michigan is very good as well. But it's pretty tough to figure out just how good somebody is right now. Yeah, McLovin.
So how do we fill out our brackets this year? On normal circumstances, we're guessing. Now it's just going to be impossible.
Well, I think that you put even less thought into it this year because you have no other choice. You're like, I don't know. We'll just take this guy. I like their colors. I like their mascot here. That's usually who wins the office bracket challenge anyway. Some people go, I don't know anything about college basketball. They're usually at an advantage. Denny Hamlin going for a three-peat at Daytona. Daytona 500 coming up this weekend on Fox. And this would be his fourth Daytona 500. And, of course, I mentioned that he is partnered with Michael Jordan. They've been good friends for quite some time. Denny Hamlin joins us now. Wait, I'm looking at you. Don't look like you're happy. What kind of mood are you in today?
Good. I mean, my day's just getting going, so we got a clean slate here.
All right, you're in a race mode here or something. You seem kind of serious. What's going on?
I'm just ready to get to the golf course, man.
wait, that's how you're preparing for the Daytona 500, playing golf?
Yeah, Michael comes in today.
Oh, so you're going to go play with Jordan?
Yeah.
Now, how much do you play? Is it per hole, or is it front nine, back nine overall?
No, by the hole. Got to get more action.
Okay. Now, what kind of action are we talking about on each hole? Who decides?
You decide on the first tee.
Yeah, but is Jordan deciding how much you're playing for?
No. He just, whatever you want to play for, whatever makes you comfortable.
You know, Tiger said to me one time, whatever makes you nervous is what I would
100%,
play for.
Which I can't play that game with him, right? So
nothing makes him nervous?
Immediately, I'm in a disadvantage.
You could win the Daytona 500 and still lose money because, depending on how much you bet with Jordan, you could give.
Yeah, no, I don't
sign over that check.
Yeah, no, I'm good enough to where I never put in play something that, I'm going to get emotional if I lose.
Are you allowed to talk smack to him?
Absolutely.
How does it work?
I mean, he misses a putt he should make, which doesn't happen often. His short game's just incredible. But for me, I just, you talk some smack, talking about how bad that putt is or how bad that shot was.
I like it. You were born in Tampa, but raised in Virginia. Were you rooting for the Buccaneers?
I was, yeah. That was the only kind of connection I had to either team, so certainly was rooting for the Bucs there.
Have you golfed with Brady before?
No, I have not. When you watch the match last year, it was like, boy, he's terrible. And then all of a sudden, he makes it from 160 out or something.
Oh, it was great. That was one of those where he shut up Barkley. Like, suck on this, Charles.
Yeah.
Is Richard Petty the Tom Brady of Daytona?
Oh, statistically speaking, yes.
Because he's got seven, right?
He does. And, what's difficult is, back in Richard Petty's days, really there was five or six cars that were capable of winning the Daytona race. And, now it's just, you've got 30 that are capable of winning. So it's just very, very difficult. Like the fields were all strung out. They didn't have the pack drafting like they do now, where there's more wrecks. So not to say it was easier, but certainly he was one of the five or six that could win when they got to the big tracks.
And it feels like if you're going to win Daytona, avoiding those wrecks early and, even late too, but how can you have a strategy to avoid a wreck other than be in first place and then you usually don't have to worry about that wreck?
Well, statistically speaking, position 2.7 is the most likely to wreck. So the wrecks actually start in the front. So there's really no safe place that you can be unless you want to just be dead last and behind the pack totally. So, I've won this in different ways, either staying up front or I've been in the back. And then sometimes I've been in the middle and just somehow avoided them. So, I think that certainly we've defied odds in the last few years. I always say this, speedway racing where you have a pack, it is a skill game, but sometimes you get unlucky. If you don't cause the wreck, you can get in it, usually in other sports when people, your competition makes a mistake, you capitalize. Well, in this type of racing, your competition makes a mistake, you're liable to be in it. So it's a little different in that aspect.
How much analytics do you guys use?
A lot. I think that, my team in particular uses quite a bit of analytics. We always, I always kind of know my percentages, what's the best place to be in a certain time. But really, I rely on my gut feeling. You can see and feel when the volume starts to get turned up inside the pack and people are starting to make moves that, are risky. And really that intuition is kind of, what I've relied on over the years.
What would it mean to three-peat?
Well, anytime you can do something that no one else has done, I mean, it's going to be your biggest victory. And so certainly for me, I think that it would be the biggest win that myself and the FedEx teams ever had is to win three in a row at what I deem one of the hardest races to win.
James Dennis Allen Hamlin. Does anybody call you Dennis?
No, I mean, not really. You know, unless they want to throw out, like, you know, Dennis the Menace or something like that.
Oh,
when I was a kid, I got a little bit of that, but.
Ooh, it's still there. Yeah. Still bothers you a little bit.
Might be a little touchy.
You know what? I was thinking J.D. Hamlin sounds like a NASCAR driver.
It's interesting. You know, I never knew why James wasn't just my name. I mean, that's what my real name is. J.D., I could have went with that. But, you know, my mom always used to call me Little Denny. My dad was Dennis, and, you know, he was Big Denny, and I was Little Denny. And that's just kind of how I always understood and answered is under Denny.
We can change it right now if you want to.
Well, I mean, you'd probably want to go with Dennis, though, right? Just to kind of...
No, I like JD. No. I'm not going to do the Dennis the Menace. No, I'm not Jordan here. We're not trash talking. I'm on your side.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, like, J.D., ladies and gentlemen, the number 11 car, J.D. Hamlin.
I like that. I can go with that.
All right. It's official. Paulie, would you let NASCAR know that don't call him Dennis, call him J.D. Hamlin?
Let FedEx know as well.
All right. That's good. I appreciate that. How often do you hear, hey, Hamlin, nice PJs?
A lot. I mean, yeah, I think I saw from the analytics, actually, from that is that it's been played now over 35,000 times.
Wait. You have analytics on the commercial you're in?
Yeah. You know, there was an article put out, you know, one that specializes in commercials and airplay and investments and all that. It was like 35,000 times. I mean, it's on every channel.
Yeah.
It's definitely been the most played commercial over the last 3 months. No question.
How long did it take you to shoot that?
Just a day. I mean, actually the PJ's line, to be honest with you, was an alternate line that was, you know, kind of thrown in right at the very end. I forget what the primary line was with her, but I think she mentioned something about, you know, you're slow or something like that. But then someone at the very end was like, hey, can we get a PJ's line? Can we get one where, you know, she says nice PJ's and then you kind of react to that? I'm like, sure. And turns out that, you know, they knew what they were doing.
But I loved your reaction. You know, you didn't really have any lines. It's basically PJ's.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty natural because they didn't tell me what the line, you know, they just said, you know, you had somebody in the background saying, you know, hey, you're slow. And I'd react. Or, hey, and then they were like, hey, nice PJs. And I was like, PJ.
Hey, you want to give a plug for the team that you co-own with Jordan here before we let you go?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big year for us, obviously, to bring Jordan into NASCAR. He's obviously been a huge fan of it for all of his life. You know, his dad used to take him to NASCAR races. I didn't know that story till, you know, our friendship grew, but fielding a car for Bubba Wallace is here, the only African-American driver, and he qualified fourth actually yesterday for the 500. So really looking forward to, you know, now owning a team as well as competing, which will be interesting. No one's done that since Dale Earnhardt 20 some years ago. So it's going to be interesting dynamic, but, you know, hopefully I'm a great asset to that team. And you know, I work for Joe Gibbs Racing, one of the best organizations. And so I can bring information over there to help us get better. So it's a big year for us and the sport itself.
It's great to talk to you. Have fun and don't lose too much to Jordan here.
All right. That sounds good.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Denny Hamlin. Always good to catch up with him. Yeah, that commercial was played a lot. But I loved his line where he's going, PJ. And then you realize that wasn't even supposed to be the original script there. That they always do these throwaway lines. Whenever you're doing one of those things, they go, hey, why don't you try it this way? And then I always know that those are the ones they use. Like they trick you. They'll go, read your line this way. Hey, why don't you just try it this way? And then next thing you know, you go, yeah, that, I don't know, I felt really awkward. No, we like that one. Yeah, I'm pulling.
I think we had Will Ferrell on about 5 years ago, and he's talking about Wedding Crashers. He played Chaz, the wedding crasher who lives at home with his mom. I think Owen Wilson comes to visit him. Remember, he's talking to him, and he yells back, "Ma, the meatloaf!" Yeah. That was not in the script. He just started riffing, I guess, Will Ferrell. He told us that he just started going, "Ma, the meatloaf," over and over, and that's what makes that scene just hysterical.
What do you? Why'd you give me Todd McShay's mock draft here with 20 minutes to go in the show?
Because it's got quarterbacks and wide receivers everywhere.
Yeah, but that's how you promote a mock draft. That's how you get people to click on it.
You mean, you know, putting a guard at number three isn't?
Yeah, that's not going to do it. So Trevor Lawrence, and then Trey Lance in there, Justin Fields in there, Zach Wilson in there. They got Zach Wilson as number two going to the Jets. All right.
Then they got receiver Jamar Chase 6, Devontae Smith 7, and Jalen Waddle 8.
And I don't know if this is going to be the way it plays out, but when I said to you guys after I spoke to a source, this is after the national title game, and I reached out to a source, and I said, better wide receiver, Jamar Chase of LSU, who sat out this entire season, or Devontae Smith? And he said, Jamar Chase. And I go, God, he better be really good. He said, no, Jamar Chase is a better receiver. He goes, I felt that the previous year, and I certainly feel it this year. I said, but you haven't seen Jamar Chase. He goes, I still like Jamar Chase. I think he'll go higher in the draft. Now, whether that's true or not, because if the Dolphins decide to stay at 3 and they want to take Devontae Smith and pair him up with Tua, then... But this is a guy who had 20 touchdowns and almost 1,800 yards in 2019. But you know the guy who it feels like he's cooled off a little bit? Justin Fields of Ohio State. Just feels like Zach Wilson getting a lot of love, Trey Lance, North Dakota State getting a little more love. And I'm thinking, what did Justin Fields do that would have him drop a little bit or that these guys would move above him? But Justin Fields, look, that shot he took in the Clemson game, those passes he had in the Clemson game, he did nothing to reduce his stock, in my opinion. Now, maybe you look at the next game and you go, well, I don't know how healthy he was. But I don't know if these mock drafts are right. I mean, they're fun. I don't know. But, yeah, I figured that you'd have at least four. You could have the first four picks if there's a trade. There'd be quarterbacks. Mac Jones of Alabama, he's in the mock draft, maybe going for to the Chicago Bears. Who knows? And, you know, it's fun to read. But if jobs depended on this, with you have to get a certain number or you can't put out a mock draft the next year, how about that? You get relegated. With the NFL insider, the draft expert gets relegated. And you just, you put somebody else, you promote somebody else here. Yeah, McLevin.
What do you do with college numbers? I looked at Justin Fields. He had a bad year this year, but the year before, 41 touchdowns and 3 picks.
Well, it'll go back to what I've been told, and that is, what kind of throws is he making? How is he under pressure? How is he after he throws an interception? Can he throw a receiver open? Is one of the more important things that I was told. Because in the pros, you throw a receiver open. In college, your receivers are usually open. A lot of these, big offenses, spread offenses, how many times do you watch Alabama play this year and you go, guy's wide open? No, we would see this. Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray, you can go down the list of all these spread offenses, big-time scoring offenses, and they were able to have a receiver open. In the pros, under pressure, you got to throw somebody open. But also, they want to know how you do, and they want to know your medicals, and they want to know how you do in front of the big board. And that's where they ask you to diagram apply. That's really, really important. The combine, the two most important things, we want to know how healthy you are, and we also want to know what you do when you stand up in front of a big board. We ask you to diagram plays. Or what do you see on this play? Or what would you do on this play? Those things are really, really important. Yeah, Paulie.
It's going to sound weird, but I don't think NFL, they don't care how well you play in college, like win and lose. Like Mitch Trubisky was not a great college quarterback, winning and losing. You know, Deshaun Watson should have been the number one pick if it's based off who feels like a winner. But he wasn't. He wasn't, it's very weird. Like Kyle Wilson did not look that great against Coastal Carolina.
Zach Wilson.
I'm sorry. But it doesn't seem like they care about how you perform, like if your team wins
and
loses.
And I watched that game. I watched the whole game with Coastal Carolina. And he was not good. He was not comfortable. They put pressure on him. And that's where I kind of came away, where I've watched him, and he was good in the bowl game. He's got a lot of talent. Confident. He's athletic. There's a, and this is going to sound sacrilegious, but I'm going to say it just to give you an idea. You see traits of Aaron Rodgers there. There's similarities there with the talent that he has. Arm strength, and he's athletic. That's high praise for him, but, we always love comps where you go, well, who's he like? And he's not physically imposing, but that game against Coastal Carolina, I came away going, oh, man, I don't know. A little surprised. By the way, you've got Trevor Lawrence's pro day coming up tomorrow, and I think the mothership's going to air it live.
Actually, I saw a story that they're just doing a special on his pro day to preview the pro day, which actually comes up in a week or two.
Oh, okay.
Because I saw the same thing. Tomorrow, Reese Davis is hosting Trevor Lawrence pro day. Then I looked into it, and it's like, it's just to talk about his pro day, but I could be wrong.
Well, why would you have a pro day unless you're going to be able to? Now, what happens sometimes is you're able to get some of your players on your team, and then they're able to run pass patterns. You're able to have a running back there. So you get some exposure for the program. But didn't Trevor Lawrence just have surgery on his left shoulder, McLevin?
Yeah.
Wait, so they're having a pre?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the Reese Davis will host an hour-long special from Bristol with David Pollack, Tim Hasselbeck. Additional pro day coverage plans, including details surrounding Clemson's on Thursday, March 11th, will be announced in the coming weeks. It's not even the pro day.
Oh, God.
It's a pre-pro day special. What are we doing?
Are they going to give him a pro week?
Are we going to miss the combine as like a TV content thing? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great in the afternoon. Rich Eisen does a great job in hosting it, and yeah, it's fun. Here, Justin Fields last season, first three games, he completed 86% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. The last five, 60% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Take a break, close up shop, back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Close up shop. Send this out to family of Pedro Gomez. Worked with him at the mothership, longtime baseball reporter, passing away earlier this week. By the way, there's college football coming up this weekend. We have one game, I think. And then the following weekend, we have quite a few college football games. Paulie, do you have the schedule?
Of course I do. If it's FCS related, yes. There's lots of games starting. McNeese State, the Cowboys, your Cowboys, Dan, at Tarleton State down in Stephensville, Texas.
The Texans.
Yeah. And so that's going to go on this weekend. And then I think next week you have 15 FCS games on different networks.
That's crazy.
It's fantastic.
I forgot all about it, when these conferences said, well, we're going to play in the spring. And I thought, yeah, right. And then Paulie goes, you're going to watch college football this weekend? I go, no.
You like directional football, like East, North, Central, Tech?
Yeah.
They're playing.
I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely. Oh, I just saw the Russell Wilson, Ciara, GQ cover.
Hot.
I don't even know how to describe it, but they're in love.
Steamy.
It's
a word that comes to mind.
Russ has his eyes closed, and he and Ciara are facing each other, so I don't know. And then I think it just says lovers on there, on the cover. I think he says I'd love some offensive line help is what he says. No, Todd, you're not going to do any more sports related Valentine's Day name. No, you're not. You had a go round in the first hour, and you did great. The first hour, you did great with the sports name.
I always push the envelope.
Yes, you do. But Todd will have all of these. I'm going to make him record these on camera, and then we'll put them out with a link on the newsletter later today. And Ryan in Honolulu, I guess, is going to have his list as well on the newsletter.
Tom Cupidido or something.
What was the other one that he had?
Hold up. His are pretty good, Todd. Yeah, okay. Don't do that to Ryan.
I feel very compelled.
Oh, he gets so territorial with this. Like if you have one that really kills and Todd goes, okay.
No, where I get sensitive is if someone says something and you guys giggle at it, but if I said it, they would be like, what? Cupido, how could you say
that? No, I didn't say that was good.
I know, but in general, you give a little more rope to this.
You know what
others.
It is? Ryan has an Australian accent, and I think it sounds better.
You might be right.
I think.
It's like the English accent. You think someone's a better actor
yes.
if they speak in like
oh
a British
God,
accent.
Oh, my God, that guy's a great actor. Actor. Saw this with Jason Lockenfora. He argues the Raiders are a good fit for Russell Wilson. Well, okay, hold on here. I mean, it's an upgrade. This isn't happening. What? I don't understand. Russell Wilson is not being traded this year. I can't imagine that. No, there's no breaking news. But so I'm trying to think why he feels this way. Does he talk about all the money and the dead cap hit here?
He said, like, if they can figure out a way to get to Vegas, they can figure out a way to get Russell Wilson.
I don't think it works that way. I could get illegal money to help me with the Raiders in Vegas. I can't do that with the salary cap in the NFL. Yes, Todd?
Now, Wilson in Vegas, that could be dangerous.
Thank you, Todd. No. Hope Solo, Bill Self. That's Todd Fritz
yes,
on Sunday.
I'm so excited.
Sunday, that's him. He is Mark Bolger, Hope Solo, and Bill Self.
What are you going to do?
That's Todd.
She's heard all my stories already.
Valentine's Day. There's no magic left.
I don't know what to do.
There's no magic there.
There's nothing I can do.
I would turn to alcohol. Todd, what did you learn on today's program?
It's great for the Bucks to say during the Super Bowl parade that they want to run it back, but some free agents expect to get paid.
Yeah, and other teams are going to get better. McLovin.
Denny Hamlin's headed out to the course with Michael Jordan.
Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin might be losing some money today.
Right now. Paulie?
Shaq Barrett's going to make some money this week.
What We Learned brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar around. 18 amazing flavors, mint, brownie, coconut, almond, pumpkin, chocolate chip cookies. You'll believe me when you taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP, 20% off. Thank you, folks. We're off for a few days. Hope you'll miss us. Seton, Paulie, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. Have a great weekend, everybody. And your wife can never have enough jewelry. Just letting you know. Take care. But wait, there's one more item. And a subtle reminder of Cashback Match from Discover. Only by Discover Card. You can learn more at discover.com/match. Any credit card company can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. So you get that birthday card shaped like cash. You know there's cash inside. You don't know how much, but in this case, it's stuff with your first year cash back match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. Cashback match, only by Discover Card. Learn more. Discover.com/match. Discover something brighter.